Well, good evening to you, and hopefully you've had a good day. Mothers have had a good day, and it's been definitely a pretty day, and I've been able to enjoy the weekend. It's been a pretty weekend, and thankful for all that God's done there. So Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to get those two places in your Bible. And I thought since it was Mother's Day that it would be appropriate to give mothers the entire day and entirety of it. And it shouldn't just be that you're good to your mother on one day a year, just like we say on all of them. You ought to be good to them every day of the year and be thankful for them. And the job, the vocation that God has called them to, and the services that they provide to all of us. I got to thinking after Andrew coming through his years and coming up through his teen and now into adulthood, boy, I needed to go back and give some apologies to my mom for some of the things that I'd done, and be remembering some of the things that are there, and you could have done a little bit different, made it a little bit easier on them, and done some things that took some of that wax out of your ears and listen to what your parents have got to say. And I am thankful that I had good parents. My mom and dad did a very good job of instilling some godly things in me, while they may have not known that they were doing it at the time and realized why they were doing it, but they did a good job in that. So thankful for them both, and for the place that they have in my life. Looking at, we'll read out of Exodus chapter 2, and then I do want to, I do like standing for the reading of God's Word. So if you'd stand and you stretch for just a minute, and then we'll read four verses here in chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with the slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Though we be small in number, God, where two or three are gathered, you said you would be there. I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit tonight, and God, let us glean something from your Word that we can use in our everyday life. We love you. Thank you for your mercy and goodness. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and you may be seated. A lot of folks ask what we can do to change the direction of the course that we're on, this generation. How you're going to rescue those that are in some of the things that they're in today. And there's a lot of things out there that they say they've always got something new that's out there, and a new book, a new way of doing things, a new way of training and raising up a child. But, you know, I disagree with pretty much everything that's out there. We better try something old. And the old things that we have is returning just to the simple truths of the Word of God and the ways that God has laid out for us. And it's the only force that's great enough to change anything or change anybody. I mean, God can change a person that's down in the pits of the bottom of the barrel, dragging through the muck and the mire. He's the one that can change that life. You can throw all the things that the world, the rehabilitations and the books and the things that the world has to offer, and there's nothing going to change a person until something changes in their mind and their heart. And a person that receives Jesus Christ has a change of heart. He has a change of mind. He has a new purpose and direction in life. And in this part of the Bible, and in Hebrews chapter 11, that's the hall of faith, the heroes of faith that we have there, God mentions Moses. But he begins in the book of Hebrews, as you read Hebrews in chapter 11 there, and I said for you to keep it, but I didn't keep it. Today's been a day for me. My mind's been just a bit off, and me and Kim got home this afternoon, and I had my offering in my pocket, and I looked at her and I said, "We didn't take up an offering today, Kim." And she looked at me and said, "You're right, we didn't." And she said, "What went on?" And then I got back here and I looked at Daryl, and Daryl said, "You were standing right beside me when I was taking up the offering." So both of us, it's her fault too. But it's been, I've had a day where my memory's not been the best. But we see here in chapter 11, as we look over and we look at verse 23, it doesn't mention the parents by name, but we know that Amram and Jochebed were the parents of Moses. And he says it was their faith that helped Moses to become a great man of God. It was by faith that they did, that she did what she did in building that ark and putting Moses in that ark. And by faith, when Moses was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents, it says. It says because they saw that he was a beautiful child. He was a goodly child. And they weren't afraid of the king's command in that. And when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing and the pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked for a reward, because there was a reward for him and for the people and the children of Israel in that. So by faith he forsook all those things, not fearing the wrath of the king. It says, by faith Moses' parents hid him from Pharaoh's murderous soldiers. Moses was one of the greatest leaders in all the Bible, but for him to be that leader, it took his mother and his parents that were there to be able to see that. His parents' faith not only saved him from death, but his mother built his foundation that when he became strong in age, he had something to look back on. He had something that had developed in him because somebody had instilled some things in him that were godly. They were good, and they were things that he could use. It was no longer his parents' faith at that point. It was Moses' faith at that point. But somebody had to instill that faith in him so that it could be used. Now, we know that God provided and did all those things and laid all those things out. But Moses responded from his own place of faith because of what his mother had instilled in him during the time that he was with her. We know the story as he goes, and he ends up being taken down into Egypt, and he's there with Pharaoh's wife and those that are there, that she comes and provides the nursing for him. She's the one that grows him and nurtures him and probably sings the hymns to him, tells him of the history of his people and the things that are there, and that God was going to send a deliverer. And then Moses' faith is grown in that because of what his mother had done. Thank God for his mother being there. His mother's name, Jochebed, means glorious mother. She was a glorious mother in what she had done and the things that she had given. She lived up to her name in that. In the eyes of the world, she was a helpless slave in Egypt. But little did the rest of the world know that she was raising and nurturing the deliverer of her people for that. And many times, don't count that what you're doing is of no significance. Don't give up on that one that needs you to instill those things in them and provide the things that they need to grow. God's word is full of promises to mothers tonight. It's full of promises to us all, but it's full of promises to you as a mother tonight as well. And when God has a big job to do, faith is the one that gets the assignment in that. Having faith. I remember Mike, I was telling him this morning, and I was sitting there and thinking about some of the mothers that we have had in church in the church over the years in those. I remember the story of how Miss Virgie prayed for those boys to get saved. And it took many years for those boys to get saved, and especially David. And I know that from his own personal testimony. But it was by her prayers that he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and received the free gift that he had coming to him and changed him in that. Thank God for a mother that continued to pray. When you don't think that it's going to happen, it's faith that keeps you going in that. Faith that God will answer that prayer. Now, he may never answer that prayer, but you're never going to know it if you quit praying. A quitter never makes it. The one that keeps going is the one that attains the goal in those things. And we need to keep on praying and keep on. There's those that are lost in our church. There's those that are not here. There's those that are not where they need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. God expects us to pray for those. The Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Over in Matthew 9, we see the two blind men that were there and the story of those blind men that were going through there. And God said, do you believe that I can heal you of your blindness? And they said, we do believe that you can heal us. And God healed them. But then we see on the backside of it that the Pharisees were mocking and telling them that it was all just superstition, that it was all magical and those type of things. And we know that it was according to their faith. Their belief in God, that God could perform, that Jesus Christ could perform that miracle that was there. Just as Brother Muncy was up here telling you this morning, and he was talking about all those healing things that were there. I remember my mom, when I would get sick and have a sore throat, she'd have this brown salve. I couldn't tell you where it come from. Don't know where it come from. It looked like something you'd take off the back end of a baby when you were changing a diaper. I just remember it being brown. And she would take it and she would rub it on my neck. And she would take a big tube sock and lay it on the floor furnace that we had in the house and get that thing blazing hot, and say, get in here, I'm going to rub this on your neck, I'm going to put this sock around it, and then you're going to go to bed. And I'd go in there, and she'd rub that on my neck, and she'd put that sock around my neck and just burn the skin off my neck. And I know the next morning when I'd wake up, she'd take me in the bathroom and she'd take a cold rag. And she said, now we got to close those pores up. Well, she'd take hot water and wash it off. And then she'd take cold water and say, I got to close the pores up. And you know, it seemed to work every time. And I don't know if it was the salve that worked. I don't know what it was. But I knew that my mom loved me and had compassion on me and cared for me in that. And I remember those type of things in that. And I don't know if she was praying for me in the back room or not. But I do know that those things worked. And those things, God works in mysterious ways, in ways that we don't understand sometimes. And maybe it's for me to reflect back on and now see my mother's love for me during those times. You don't know what God is working back here, so you can see it out here when you're a little bit older and have a little bit of wisdom and have some ways to understand it. Face vision gets a promise for God. You know that Jochebed here, she had a vision in what God was going to do. It sees the promises. When you have faith, we talk about faith here in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You got to start getting a vision for what God can do in these things. And mothers, more so than men, have a vision for what God can do in their children. It says that they saw Moses and he was a beautiful child. He was proper. He was a goodly child. He was full of potential. And I would say that they saw him through the eyes of faith. And because they knew God had told Abraham hundreds of years prior in the book of Genesis, he had told them that his descendants would be held captive. And they knew this. They knew what was going on. And God would raise up a leader to bring them out of their captivity. They knew that story and the things that were there. And they had a vision, I think, when they saw him and they said that he was a beautiful child and he was a goodly child and he was that this might be the child that God has promised to bring our people out. He might be the one. Mothers, no one can have faith apart from the Word of God, because the Bible says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you need the Word of God. Don't say I've heard it all before, that there's no hope there, that your faith will either grow or fizzle based upon the time you spend seeking God in His Word. Moses' parents believed God's Word, and God mixed that belief and that faith together in the mystery of His will and the things that were there. There's mystery sometimes there, but you've got to have faith to believe that God can do what He said He can do. God can do it. And God did it in that. Faith oftentimes is a journey. This whole thing was a journey for them as parents, for a mother, for a father, for those that are there. And faith's journey begins to act on God's promises in those things. Faith turns God's promises into action. You know, our actions speak as loud as our words do. You can do a lot of things, and I've told our Sunday school class many times, I can get up here and say a lot of things, but it's what I do during the week that reflects my heart's condition and where my heart is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do a lot of talking sometimes, and we say that, but Moses' mother, Jochebed, took action. And we see that she hid him from Pharaoh's soldier after the decree was to drown all the boys in the Nile. They were going to drown every one of those boys in the Nile. But she did not do what they had asked her to do. She didn't resort to, whatever will be, will be. I hear people say, well, whatever's going to be, will be. No, it isn't whatever will be, will be. It's going to be what God says it'll be. And we oftentimes, that's not, if God's going to spare them, He's going to spare them. And it's going to be this, that, or that. No, it's not. You need to take some action in doing those. There's things that you can do to help prevent some of the problems that will come. And we see that Jochebed took action in doing that. And faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, the Bible says it's what? It's dead. And your works prove your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved by your works, but they're evidence of the fact that you are saved tonight. And we oftentimes don't have works to back up what we say in that. And Jochebed had that. She didn't resort to fatalism and some of the other things that are out there. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. It didn't say teach a child in the way he should go. It said training. Training takes some effort. And I can tell you, training took some effort on that one over there. And training's going to take some effort in all that. And I'm not saying that to be mean. Training, it took some training with me. It took some training with you as an individual. You can teach them a lot of things. But training them to do those things is a whole nother story. When you train up a child in the way he should go, then he won't depart from it. Because it's when they get in those situations and they remember their training, that's when they will resort to the training that's there. It's just like a soldier that goes to war. You can teach them how to fight, but if you don't train them what to do when they're in the battle, they're not going to know what to do, and they're not going to take what they've learned and what they've been trained to do and put it into action. And I can tell you that the kids today are put into battle each and every day. They need training from their mothers and their fathers. And we don't train them like we should. Faith, courage has no fear. When we have faith, and I know that the beginning of wisdom is a fear of the Lord and those, but they weren't afraid of the king's commandment in verse 23 there, the things that were there. And people say that these are such fearful and awful days. I don't fear of the time that we live in. I fear that folks are dying and going to hell, but I don't fear for the time that I live in. God is who I'm trusting in. I'm not trusting in the people around me, in the government, in the things that are there. I'm trusting in God tonight, in His Word. I have faith that He will keep the promises that He's committed unto me. He'll deliver in the time of need. And the Bible's very clear. In the last days, there's going to be perilous times. They are going to come. And there's going to be people out there that are totally off the rocker, that have lost all connection. Just this past week, we had the Messiah. The Messiah showed up at the courthouse. Now, some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but there was a guy that came into the physical courtroom that actually said that he was the Messiah. He was sent. Now, just nuts. Folks, people are losing their minds today. You better hold on to this book right here, and you better get close to God because they're all around you. And God is the only one that's true to you tonight. He is your friend when there's times of adversity and there's things that you need. He's the only friend that you're going to be able to call on that will be true to you every time, 100% of the time. But faith has no fear. And godly people, above all, should be raising a godly generation to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to take a stand and take a position for your children and for them to know that there's a place for them to stand. Moses' parents looked past the king of Egypt to the king of kings, and they weren't afraid. Times were just as perilous in Moses' day, and our times are perilous today, but thank God for mothers and fathers of faith. Be faithful tonight. Now, when you enact that, faith, victory overcomes the world. And by faith, when Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. God miraculously answered Jochebed's faithful prayers. And not only was Moses' life spared, but Pharaoh's daughter had adopted him, like I said, and hired Jochebed, actually paid her wages to take care of him. And we see all that. Jochebed made the ark and done all that. And faith is the victory that overcomes the things that are in your life tonight. And it gives you victory over the world and the things that the world throws at you tonight. The only victory that you're going to have tonight is the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ of the battles that you fight. Trust Him. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Give a little bit more all the time to God. God will take that and multiply that and bless it immensely if you'll do it. And then face values, they remain long after you're gone. You know, I remember some of the things that my grandparents taught me over the years. I spent a lot of my summers up in Batesville, up in Lee County. And Granny and Papa taught me just things about being respectful. you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Holding a door open for somebody, being good to people, throwing your hand up and waving at your neighbor, being neighborly to somebody, being good to people that you don't know. You don't have to know them to be good to them. That's what we call back, you know, being a good person. And my grandparents taught me a lot of that during my growing up years, not necessarily my teenage years, but those adolescent years. They taught me a lot of those things. And face values, they remain long after they're gone. They're things that they taught me. And you as parents and me as a parent, me as a grandparent now, face values are going to last. If the Lord doesn't return, they're going to last long after I'm gone. And they're going to remember those things. We are a testament. There has to be a death of the testator to be a testament, doesn't it? That's what it says in the book of Hebrews as well. And we see that we can leave that good testimony to those that are around. I don't care that anybody knows or that my grandkids know what I necessarily did for a living. I want them to say that He taught me some things. He trained me in some things. He said that I should do this or I shouldn't do this, and implore that into their lives as good traits, good character traits that's there. Moses would have been in the next line for the kingdom, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He suffered affliction for that. Moses had an incredible value system, as I see it and as I read it and as I study it. He could have been the king of all of Egypt. On one hand, he saw the treasures of Egypt. On the other, he saw the glories of Christ. He said, if I go this way, I'll have power, possessions, and prestige. If I go of the other, I'll have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a value judgment. I'll go the other, choosing to suffer affliction with God's people. You know, Moses, if you read over in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, it said that he had gone to, might as well call it, the University of Egypt. He'd went to and learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was an intelligent, very intelligent. He may have said who's going to speak to these people, but he was very intelligent. He was learned in the things of the Egyptians. And he could have used all that and been in line and been in power. But a mother of faith trained him day by day, putting something in his heart that all those professors couldn't take away. Put something in that child's heart that the world can't take away. And the one thing that you'll put in their heart that the world can't take away is this book right here. It's God's Word. It's the things that that are everlasting. It's the things that are eternal that matter in that. A great battle rages over values today. And it's foolish to try to get our children to make decisions unless they have something to decide. Instead of telling your children, don't do this or that, ask yourself this question. What have I given them that's better than what the world has to offer? What have you given them that's better than what the world has to offer? If you want them to choose that and saying, don't do this and don't do that, give them the things that they need to choose. And the things that they need to choose are the Bible, church, those that are around, the things that God would have us. I told our Sunday school class this morning, thinking on the things that are of virtue, things that are honest, things that are of good report, those things which we have learned and you've seen in me, do those things and the God of peace will what? Be with you. That's how we get peace. Brother Muncie preached a message not too long ago on having that peace. He preached one out of this text in this context about the muddy water and having to have those things that were there that helped that as we went through the valleys in life. It's those things that help you grow. I don't remember every message that's been preached over since the year began, but I know this, I've tried to take those messages and apply them and put them in my heart in order that I can grow and be more profitable for the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you have that mentality that you want to take that, it's just like dinner that you ate 2 weeks ago. You don't know what you had for dinner maybe on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, but I know that what? It sustained me and it gave me what I needed to make it to the next day. And it's just like that when we come to church, you need the Word of God preached in you every time that you can get the opportunity in order that you don't fall down out there and somebody grab you up and snatch you and the devil has got a snare for everybody that's in here. And you look around in here tonight and all the empty spaces and the things that are here. I know there's people that are with their mothers. They're doing different things, but there's plenty of people that could be sitting right there in that pew giving God the glory, thanking Him for all the things that He's done for them. We make excuse after excuse after excuse why we can't do what God has called us to do. And it's a simple command. And if we love God tonight, we would show Him that we loved Him. And we don't do it. And face values. And your children will remember that you were in church or you wasn't in church. And that will be their excuse when they don't come to church. If there's one thing that I've taught him, he comes to church. We don't piddle around on Sunday night. We're not out running with the crowd. Sunday morning we go to church. Wednesday night we go to church. And I'm not the best dad by any stretch of the imagination. But there's one thing that we did do. We came to church. And that wasn't even when I was walking like I should have been walking with the Lord. Church is important. Being in His house is important. Praying's important. Doing those things that God has called us to do. The world wants you and it wants your children tonight. And thank God for mothers, because I dare say it, we probably, as a whole, we probably got stronger women in our church than we do men. And it's a shame to say that. We're supposed to be the leaders in our home and lead our home as God leads us. But most of the time, it's the women that are leading and doing the things that need to be done in our houses. May God forgive us tonight for those things. And may we take the example of a godly woman in the Bible that utilized the faith that God instilled in her to get her child to where she needed to get him in order that he could deliver a people that God had already preordained that were going to be delivered. God had already set it up. God was using the man that he was going to use, and she was able to be part of that plan. Don't you want to be part of God's plan? I want to be part of his plan, because his plan is the one that's eternal. His is the plan that I see at the end of the book that comes to finality, and he is the winner. God is the winner. God, give us faith tonight to do what we ought to do, and thank the Lord for the godly mothers that we do have as we stand to our feet.